I'm Sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 223, where I'm joined by my good friend Terry Lance for another Mindset Matters episode. It also slots in nicely to the Keto Curious series, as we're talking about a few things that might impact you as a beginner or a newbie to keto. And to be honest, it's just things that affects us all. So it's certainly not restricted to if you're just starting out. Now, before I get stuck into a roundup and many, many apologies, I would just like to give a great big shout out to Tasha Palmer. This is your spot here at the top of the show because you chose to support me on Patreon. So this spot is reserved especially for you. So thank you very, very much, Tasha, for supporting me and this podcast by making a contribution over at Patreon. If you would like to join Tasha in supporting me in this podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/ketowoman. And the links are in the show notes and the show description. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Tasha. This show is for you. Now we get to the point where I prostrate myself before you with many, many apologies for going AWOL for the past few weeks. I have felt ridiculously guilty about it. I even recorded a brief episode to put out to explain what was going on one morning down by the sea, but the audio was so appalling. It was full of plosives and it just sounded too horrible, and I couldn't bear to put it out. So here I am coming at you with an actual episode and many, many apologies. Basically, I have just been ridiculously busy, and I'm talking about working all the hours until I go to bed busy. It's a good thing, and it's nice to be busy. I'm busy with some new work. I've been doing some video editing for the Fasting Method, and it's great work. I'm enjoying it. But it has been quite a steep learning curve because there are some new skills that I've had to learn. I've done a bit of video editing in the past, and there are many, many overlaps with audio editing. And there's a lot of the same kind of logic applied, I've discovered. So, you know, you kind of apply similar systems when you're taking out a green screen as you do when you take out background noise. There's a lot of how to explain it. Creativity to a certain extent, lots and lots of faffing about, because these things, unless you have a completely professional setup, they're never easy. So it's a constant game of tweaking and playing around with things. If you have a professional setup, it's one click and the green screen disappears. But unless you have a myriad banks of lights and all that, like I say, professional setup, what might look like a green screen is actually made up of all sorts of greens. And that one click becomes many, many clicks and much messing around trying to get rid of it. And that's just one of the things I've been learning how to do. So it's exciting and I've been enjoying it. I always like the challenge of learning new things and getting to grips with new skills. But if you know me at all, you'll know I also have that perfectionist side. So even things that I'm used to doing and good at doing take me longer than it would probably take a lot of other people, because I just go over and over and want to get it as good as I possibly can. So you can imagine when it's with something new that I have less experience and confidence with, it's just taking all the hours. So something had to give, and unfortunately that something was Keto Woman for a few weeks. I'm hoping I can get back into the swing of things now. Part of the problem was that I was having to come up with the content as well as then editing it. Monday Mindset's a little different because I share that content production with Terry. They're quite short episodes. And then, of course, I also have the Fasting Method and Kim's podcast to edit. So it's just literally been a case of not enough hours in the day and days in the week. But I did manage to squeeze in a recording with Terry, and it's not too long, so I also managed to get it edited. Now, funnily enough, one of the reasons I've got time to sit down and record this catch-up with you is that Storm Eunice has hit our shores, and there is a power outage everywhere, it seems. I walked into town just now to buy some matches so that I could make a cup of tea and finish cooking my breakfast, because it had started in the oven and the oven, of course, went out. Luckily, I still have my KKB cooker. That's what I've been using, and it has a gas hob. But I discovered I didn't have any matches to light the gas with, so I had to go out and find some. I, of course, had to go and have a sneaky peek at Storm Eunice in action, even though everyone's been warned not to go anywhere near the sea. But I had to. There were plenty of other people down there having a look too. And let me tell you, she was quite something. The waves are lashing at the shore, and there was certainly no swimming to be done today. If you're anything like me, a good old storm and the seaside is just something that is very, very exciting to watch. I can remember decades and decades ago when I used to live just about a half an hour's drive inland from here. And I used to drive down when the weather was bad and there were storms around just to sit in my Morris Minor and have a look at the sea. Very, very exciting. So, of course, I couldn't resist the urge to go and take a peek, but with the excuse, of course, of going and finding some matches. Funnily enough, most of the shops were closed. Luckily, there was a little corner store that was open and he had some matches, but everywhere else was closed. All the traffic lights are out. The railway station seems to be closed. So the power is out everywhere. It's not just private homes. It seems to be absolutely everywhere. So I am recording using my trusty Zoom recorder plugged into a power pack. Whether I'll be able to edit it or not, I'm not sure. It's going to depend how long the battery lasts on my laptop. Sadly, I didn't have the foresight to charge it up overnight, so I don't think it's going to last for too long. But hopefully long enough to get this edited, and then it's just going to be a case of waiting for the power to come back on before I can upload. So fingers crossed, you'll be getting this at some point over the weekend. There seems to be no mobile phone service either, so I'm imagining power lines are down all over the place, and I shouldn't think the electrical engineers are in any hurry to be fixing them. The wind is very, very powerful, so I should imagine it's way too dangerous to be going up trying to fix power lines. So who knows when it's going to come back on. In some ways, it's nice to have some enforced downtime, but in most ways, it's not nice at all because it's going to make me very, very behind with my work, which is going to mean a very, very overloaded week next week. Might even mean that I miss some deadlines. Fingers crossed that won't happen. I'm supposed to be going up to London on Sunday to see Sing 2 with my sister and her family, my two nephews. Hopefully the power will be back on by then, as I've been looking forward to seeing them all. What else has been happening? Well, my gorgeous girl Amy has not been very well. She's had a tummy bug of some kind. According to Google, it's actually quite common for dogs to get gastroenteritis, but apparently there is also a bit of a prolific dog bug going around the southeast at the moment, so maybe she had that. I'm not sure how she got it or that it can be that contagious because the other dogs haven't had it. But anyway, she was proper poorly. She was retching all the way through the night. Being sick, but not much to come up really by the time she was trying to be sick. And bless her heart, she was trying desperately, so desperately, to cover up the sick that she's worn a patch on the top of her nose. Silly girl. It's times like that where you really wish you could make them understand you. There was absolutely no need. I am not averse to clearing up dog sick when I've got a poorly dog. Anyway, she was off her food for a few days, and I do what I've done for Bets in the past and made her some chicken stock. I figure that way she's going to get some nutrients and the liquids that she needs to stay relatively healthy without putting anything inside her that's going to make her feel sick. That seemed to do the trick, and it was only a matter of a couple of days in the end before she was back to her old self. So luckily, we avoided a trip to the vet, which is always a good thing in my books. What else? Apart from that, the dogs are fine. Rocket has spotted the odd fly and is looking very worried about it. So we are going to have to go back to doing some fly aversion training. I was hoping against hope that he'd forgotten all about them, or at least had gotten okay with them over the winter when obviously they haven't been around. But clearly he is still worried by them. I haven't seen one, but he obviously has managed to spot the odd one in the park and has been on high alert, tail between his legs when he spots them. So that's not a good sign for the up and coming good weather. The other really nice thing that I've got to look forward to is seeing some friends of mine that used to be relatively near neighbours in France. That's where I met them and became really good friends with them. And Pete in particular used to come round a lot for meals. We had this fabulous exchange system where he came round for a home-cooked meal and then he would take me out to dinner. And the last time I saw him, he happened to be over. He was over very frequently doing work to his house. It's funny, they're a couple, Pete and Alison, and it used to be the other way around. It used to be Alison that I'd see really very frequently. Once she was retired, she came down a lot. But then she had a new grandson, so she started looking after him every other week, and that really restricted how often and for how long she could come down. And when Pete then moved into retirement, he would spend a lot more time coming over, working on properties he had there. So it was him I would see a lot more frequently. And he happened to be there just as COVID all really, really kicked off. And he ended up traveling back, actually, just as France was locking down. And that's the last time I've seen him, and Alison was a couple of months before that. So I haven't seen them, basically, for a good 2 years. And they are coming down to the South Coast. Apparently, they've got a few friends in the area. So they're going to spend a few days staying in B&Bs and having a bit of a mini break. So I'm going to get to see them a week on Sunday, and I can't wait. And I really can't wait to show them the difference in Rocket. They remember a very, very shy and timid dog who used to run and hide in a corner when anyone came round. Now he positively likes people. So I wouldn't be surprised if they even manage to get a cuddle. So they're really going to be blown away by the difference. So I'm really, really excited about seeing them. It's been way, way too long. And I think that's about everything. Need I tell you that nothing has happened on the DIY and building front? I have just been in complete denial about that. You can imagine, if I haven't had time to record and spend time with you, I most certainly haven't had time to be doing DIY. But I really do need to address that situation and stop pretending it's not there, because there's this huge backup with things in storage and the windows can't happen. Nothing really can happen until I do something about it. So that's enough rambling from me. Anyway, a brief catch up there with what's been going on, and many, many apologies again. If I run out of time again next week, I will endeavour to run a repeat instead, rather than just going completely AWOL and not explaining where I am. Of course, some of you have been worried about me, and so I'm really sorry to have worried you. Thank you so much for your patience, for your understanding, for your love and concern. You really are just the very, very best people at the other end of I don't know what it is. I imagine you all out there when, especially when I'm recording these introductions. So although I can't see you, I am talking to you. Thank you. So I will leave you now to enjoy, hopefully, my chat with the very wonderful Terry Lance. Welcome back, Terry, to the Keto Woman podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Daisy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, well, busy. And as we said before we started, I always get confused when I'm recording with you which podcast hat I have on. But today, yes, we are with Keto Woman and another Mindset Matters episode. And just to add another subtitle, part of the Keto Curious series that I've been recording, a sort of rambling around my take on my suggestions on how to start keto, or maybe how to restart or go back to the beginning and rethink some of the ways you approach keto. So I wanted to do a Mindset Matters episode that fits in with all that. So really, it's just thinking about some of the mindset and behavior that typically comes up when you're starting something new. The temptation to compare yourself to others is one of the things that I thought about straight away. It's certainly something that I do, and it's something that I see other people doing all the time. You know, how come so-and-so has lost £1 million in week one and I haven't lost any, and all these kind of things. Always comparing yourself to other people and the dangers of that. And then you had a good idea just before we started recording, looking at finding the balance between being too rigid and too flexible and getting a bit too stuck on rules. But I will let you expand on that. But it very much, as soon as you said it, I thought, gosh, yes, that really fits in absolutely with the approach that I've been taking, that I've been suggesting that people do. For me, keto is about and should all be about finding a way to keto that fits you and not trying to squeeze yourself into some kind of keto diet box and rules. So I thought it fit perfectly with that. So let's go. Yeah. Where do you want to get stuck in?
Let's start with the first topic that you brought up, the comparing yourself to others. I think this is a very natural thing that we do as humans. This is not just a keto thing, but a very natural thing, is we want mile markers. We want to know, how successful am I being? Am I doing the right things? And we're looking for ways to assess that. And unfortunately, as humans, one of the ways we do that is comparison with others. And I know this is easier said than done, but I really would invite listeners to really focus on comparing yourself to yourself. How are my habits changing? How is my joint pain changing? What am I noticing that feels different? Recently, I talked with a client who was so excited that she's eating healthy meals and realizes she's not as hungry between meals as she used to be. That's a great self-comparison. That's a way of knowing I'm doing something that's working. Mm-hmm. I'm getting healthy food. I'm not having my normal cravings or constant hunger versus, well, how did that person do with this? And how many pounds did this person lose? The comparison I often hear about this, as you brought it up, is also about the pounds lost. And I think for most people doing any type of dietary change, taking a different approach to their eating, this is one way of measuring that becomes such a focal point for so many. And I actually encourage, if possible, to kind of let yourself free of this focal point and maybe make it so that you weigh yourself once a week, once a month. But the idea that if you can be looking at this as important feedback for you, is my body releasing body fat at this time? And if so, okay, let me keep doing these things. If not, is there something I might need to change up? But one of the reasons I get concerned about so much focus on this number is that it's often a little bit misguided. And so if we get really focused on how much weight are other people losing, let's say, for example, you're doing this with a friend and your friend has lost 14 pounds in 2 weeks and you've lost two. I completely understand how it's hard not to maybe get frustrated and think I must be doing something wrong. Mm. But there are so many underlying reasons why that number may look very different. People who have spent much time with me know I tell this story all the time, but when I first changed how I was eating, I changed to a Whole 30. So not quite keto, but such a drastic change from the Pop-Tarts I was eating for breakfast.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. And I thought for sure I was going to lose a ton of weight in those 30 days because my food was so spot on. And I was following a group on the internet and they were all losing, reporting after 30 days, 17 pounds, 22 pounds. I couldn't wait.
Yeah, because you're not, you don't weigh yourself till the end of
right.
it, do you? Yeah.
And so I got on day 30, I was so excited. Boom, or day 31, whatever. I had lost 4 pounds. Now, 4 pounds in a month for me is nothing to shake a stick at. But I had these expectations that pounds were just going to be flying off like I was seeing on these other people.
Of course.
But I had to take a step back and really look at what was my overall goal. I knew I needed to change my relationship with food. So actually, I had already decided to keep going beyond the 30. But beyond that, I had come off one of my diabetic medications in that 30 days. I had cut another one in half. So huge changes
so
were happening.
So much more important.
Yeah. And if I only am looking at that scale or comparing myself on that number, I'm thinking, this doesn't work for me. This is pointless. You know, I could go to the bathroom and lose 4 pounds. This is not something that's sustainable for me. Mm. But when I really reflected on it, that was telling me it took those 30 days for my body to heal enough to even let go of 4 pounds. And I had more healing to do. So when I hear people comparing themselves and getting very caught up on that number of pounds lost, I just think oftentimes it misguides us to interpret our behaviors and whether this approach is even a good approach for us, that we're not able to see the whole picture as clearly then.
I think it's so hard because we're so ingrained to look at things that way. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been bombarded by these crash diets to get us into something, get us to, you know, drop a dress size, get a beach body, whatever the hell rubbish it is. You know, so from the media side of it, we're being bombarded by these things all the time. The other thing is, which it's a great thing to be inspired by other people's stories, but you know, more often than not, there's that before and after picture, there's the dramatic weight loss. And on one hand, it is fantastic because these stories are so inspiring, and that's what often pulls us into what can end up being, what will hopefully end up being a new healthy way of eating for us. But of course, you know, we get sucked in with that initial temptation of dramatic weight loss. Not always, I know, not always, but for the majority of people in the community, weight loss is the thing that sucks you in the first place. But the other thing I was thinking about, it harks back very much to a Monday Mindset episode that we recorded the other day about the why, the how, and the what. And we were talking very much about being centered in that why, finding your why. It's one of my W's that I haven't got to yet, so I'm sure I will be rambling on ad infinitum about the why. But that weight loss is very much kind of the what. It's the goals on the periphery that seem so important when we're starting. But as you progress, as you get further along in that journey, you realize it's so much more important to center yourself really strongly right in the middle there in your why, because those goals change all the time. the other thing was when you mentioned about the weight, the number on the scale, and being driven by that data. That's the other thing that I've been trying to get people to move away from in the beginning, or at least somehow compartmentalize if they want to track their food, is that danger of everything being tainted by the data.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting people to build up a relationship, find what their relationship is with all these foods, be they new foods or be they old foods. You know, what are the foods that you like and do they like you back? Mm-hmm. Find out what works for you before you start setting macros. That's kind of, you know, what I've been getting at. So I think it very much fits with that. As soon as you start with something black and white, mm-hmm. like data, it starts tainting everything, doesn't it? And not in a very good way.
And to me, the example of weight changes, you know, I've watched people who will say, I was at 182.4 yesterday and I'm at 182.3. And so they take this as I lost, you know, 3/10 of a pound of body fat. That is so inaccurate. You know, we can't narrow it down. Was that actual body fat? And our body naturally fluctuates so much. A bad night's sleep and your weight could be up 2 pounds. So I think when people get so caught up in that, I totally get why it feels really good when the numbers go the way you want them to go. But it feels bad when they're going the other way. And so leveling that out some. I see the same thing though with ketone measures and blood sugar measures. Mm. I can have really good blood sugar numbers for days and suddenly I have really bad number. And of course, right away, I instantly think, what did I eat? How did I mess this up? And I go back and I didn't eat anything out of the ordinary for me. But maybe it's I didn't get as deep a sleep as I thought. Or maybe my body is working on fighting off some kind of bug that I'm not even aware of. And so my glucose is up. But if I react to every measure I take and try to adjust to what I'm doing because of it, I'm going to be chasing things all of the time versus going for consistency. The thing that you brought up about that, Daisy, takes us to the other topic that you mentioned at the beginning. I see a lot of people when they're first starting out, and again, naturally, when you're first starting out with anything new, you just want the rules, the guidance. How do I do this and how do I do this right?
Yeah, to get
yes
that goal, that fix,
yes,
you know, whatever it is, number, weight loss, probably.
How can I get that number of pounds lost just like that person did? Yes.
Yeah, a black and white, straight line equation. Yeah. If I do exactly what you tell me with the rules, that's what I'm going to get.
Right. And as we've already mentioned,
in 2 weeks.
And you've talked about, it's just not possible to do that. And this is what I tend to see as people's ways of managing that. Or maybe it's maybe more people's just natural personalities coming through. I see people either fall on the far end of the continuum where they become very rule-bound and they want every rule right now and they won't allow themselves any fluctuation on any of those rules. So very rule-bound, but then very defeated or unsure what else to do when they feel like that's not working right away. And then on the other end of the continuum, I see people who don't like rules in general. So their approach is more, okay, I hear what you said the rules are, but I'm going to find the broadest way to interpret those rules to do what I need to do to get the result. So we have these two kind of polar ends, and then obviously a whole bunch of us somewhere in that continuum. And I think as you said earlier, the important thing is to start to discover how do foods work for you? Are they satisfying? Do you enjoy them? Do they trigger cravings? Like almond butter is not high carb, fits pretty well in my low carb keto approach, but it's very triggering for me of cravings. I snack on it a lot more than other foods that are good for me. So really looking at how do I interact with this food not just how many carbs. And I think, you know, the very rule-bound people get caught up on, oh, wait, that has 3 slices of onion in it. I can't have onion. That's too many carbs. And so they start to feel very restricted and, again, kind of hopeless if they're not seeing the progress they want to see. And then on the far other end of the continuum, people saying, okay, well, let me see. If I eat enough fiber with this, I'm only going to count this many net carbs. Mm-hmm. And if it's keto, it doesn't count anyway. And so they're looking for every way to kind of stretch the rules to fit what they would rather be doing. Whereas on this end, people are feeling very bound by the rules. And I think people really have to work on gliding along that continuum somewhere.
It's because you end up in this weird place. You see these posts like, help, you know, what am I going to have for dinner? I've got 50 grams of fat, 1 gram of carbohydrates and no protein left, or whatever, you know, some mm-hmm. strange mix of what can I make for dinner out of this? And you're like, this, you know, this is what trying to get away from. I think there's huge value in tracking. You know, our good mm-hmm. friend Kim Houghton believes very much in tracking, and for good reason. I just want people to build that relationship first and find that balance. Like you just said, finding your place on that continuum away from mm-hmm. those extremes that are just going to send you a little bit crazy if you're not careful.
I also think for a lot of people, tracking can be a great tool when you feel like you're struggling, but you're not sure why you're struggling.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, gosh, I feel like I'm eating the right foods. I feel like I'm eating a good amount, but, you know, it's been 6 weeks and I'm really not, nothing's changing in my body that I can tell. Then if you can take a look at it and see, okay, well, maybe you've added too much additional fat to your day. Maybe you need to bring that down a little bit. Or maybe you're going way over in protein because you followed a certain calculator that said high protein is best for you. And it may be best for some people, and maybe it's not working for you. And so using macros at that point to tweak and try to explore what's going on. And here's an example for me that even goes a little off the macro topic a bit. Is I sometimes will talk with clients who are eating well, they're eating low carb and whatever that looks like for them, and they're tracking their food, and I take a look at it, and yeah, they are, and their food choices are good according to whatever, you know, keto standards they're looking at. But I may see it and see that this person is eating 6 ounces of cheese a day. Because let's face it, cheese is yummy. Mm. And if you're told you can have that on a keto approach, yay. But what they find is that for them, it's not working so well. And so I encourage them, hey, let's stop the cheese for a little bit and just see what happens. 2 weeks later, they come back, they've lost 8 pounds. It wasn't about changing protein and decreasing fat by this amount and everything. It was about taking out a food or maybe reducing a food that was just having more of an impact than they realized. Mm. And again, I think we can get so caught up on the rules about macros versus our body doesn't have a formula in it. You know, it's basing its response on the foods we're eating and when we're eating and all of these other things. And so I think just really working on finding that position along that continuum that works for you. Not being too rigid, not being too rule bound, but also not trying to stretch things so much and then get frustrated and say, well, you know, keto just doesn't work. But, you know, finding that place of some of us have more room to wiggle than others. I have a friend that if she eats more than 17 carbs in a day, she will be out of ketosis. And I know people who can eat 75 carbs in a day and still be in ketosis. So the idea of this set number of carbs or this set number of net carbs or whatever people are following, that's a guideline. That's a most people will, you know, be in ketosis with this. but your own body may vary quite a bit from that. And again, I'm not saying that because I want people to stretch the rules so much that they maybe interfere with their progress, but get to know where your body does best. Some people feel best when they have a little bit of whole food carbohydrate in their day. It helps them with their cravings. Whereas other people, if they eat some sweet potato, their blood sugar numbers go off the chart.
Game over. Yeah. No, that's why it's so interesting, isn't it? And there's always two sides to an argument. And there's always like, I absolutely see the value in tracking, mm-hmm. like you just said before. How are you going to know what to tweak? How are you going to know exactly what's going on unless you've got the data to look at? I just think there's a time in the timeline mm-hmm. for doing things. And I think it's such a temptation to go in there at the beginning with these fixed rules, with these mm-hmm. fixed numbers, because they're out there, and you miss that opportunity to just find all the things that work well for you first mm-hmm. as you're getting used to it in that period of time where, you know, you're transitioning probably from a very different way of eating to this new mm-hmm. way of eating, just kind of feeling your way through it, you know, using that word, see how you feel about mm-hmm. things rather than fixating on mm-hmm. black and white things.
I also think that one of the things that is challenging about this rules continuum is that you can talk to 100 keto experts and you're going to get 78 different opinions about many topics.
Exactly.
And I think what a lot of us do is we look for the person who tells us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Well, probably. This person says it's okay to keep doing this. Yeah. Well, this person says that I need to stop doing this, so I'm going to follow them. So for example, recently I had a client, and I work with people who are also combining this with fasting. Not all people are doing keto, but some form of dietary change and fasting. And she was doing pretty well, but you know, her progress was going pretty slowly, and she was struggling with cravings and hunger and couldn't quite figure out why. And she took Coke Zero out and everything changed. The pounds started coming off more quickly. Her cravings died down. Her hunger died down. Now, it would be easy to say, there's a rule. You can't have Coke Zero. Mm. She needed to find that out, because I also know other people who drank Diet Coke or something the whole time and lost over 100 pounds. So there's not going to be one way that works for everyone. And you're going to have to do some experimenting. Let's say, for example, I don't want to let go of my Coke Zero, so I'm going to keep it in for a while. And if I find out that, gosh, I feel like I'm eating the right foods, I'm doing what I think is the right approach, and I'm stalled here, what if I try a week or two without the Coke Zero? What happens? And if nothing changes, great, then I'm bringing it back in. But if I just look for the right answer on everything, one, you're never going to find it, because you're going to have so many different points of opinions about any topic. And you need to find what is a lifestyle that is sustainable for you. And you know my bias on this one, but I'm going to talk the other side of the bias. If someone said to me, look, I've lost 100 pounds drinking Diet Coke, and it's the only thing that really helped me let go of all the other things, I'd say, here, have a case of it. Like, great. Do I think it's what's best for everyone? No. But if it's working and it fits their decisions about their nutrition and everything, great. But if things aren't working, then we have to kind of look at these kinds of things more. But to just follow hard and fast rules or work around the rules may not be the best place to be on that continuum.
That's right. Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? It's really just, I guess my overriding thing is just trying to get people to really try and figure out what's going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of approach? How do I approach this? Who am I and how am I going to react to these things? You know, it's no mm-hmm. point doing a really strict boot camp type approach where someone's going to be shouting at you if you break the smallest rule. If you have a rebel tendency mm-hmm. or a questioner tendency, it's just this, you know, it's not going to work for you. It's going to make you miserable. It's going to make you say, well, F this, I'm not, keto is not for me. So that's why, you know, it's so important in my mind to go all through these steps, you know, figuring out who you are, figuring out what you like, because ultimately the goal is, in my mind anyway, is a long-term sustainable way of doing this that is going to optimize your health as much as possible, make you as happy and as well as is possible for the rest of your life. This is what we're aiming for. It's not some kind of short-term quick fix that you've got to fit yourself into to go from A to B and get the goal that you're looking for. It's finding something that is going to make you happy and well and is sustainable, because, you know, food for most of us is something that we enjoy. So, you know, it's a big part of our lives. So it's important that the diet that you're following, the way of eating that you live by, is something that you can get as much enjoyment out of as possible.
And that's why I think it's so important in this whole conversation to think about, I'm learning a method that works for me, and it's going to take time to learn that. You can't know all this in the first 2 weeks. You can't know this all in the first 2 months. I don't even know that some of us can know all of it in the first 2 years. Mm. And so giving yourself time to explore, try things, see what works, and not get caught on the idea that I'm going to find one correct approach on all of these different points in this overall approach and just do it that way forever. It's going to continue to evolve. And so giving yourself that time, I think, is key.
Absolutely. Well, that's great advice, as always. Thank you very much for contributing, having a rambly discussion to add to my Keto Curious series. Of course, we're at that point where I ask you for your final, because you've given us many, but a top tip to round off the episode with, please.
I would encourage people, especially as you're working on figuring all of this out, try not changing too many things at one time, mm-hmm. because then you get no identifiable feedback. It might work, but you don't know which part worked if you changed five things. Or yes, you might say, oh, it didn't work, but maybe it's because you changed five things. So if you're going to be tweaking something, tweak one thing at a time, see how that works, give it a couple weeks maybe even, and then tweak something else. So one major change at a time, if you're looking for specific feedback, is important.
And yes, patience is key. This is, you know, this is hopefully for the long term. So there's no quick fix.
That's right.
It's very easy to get sucked into. You want the results quickly, but yes, a little patience.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. Great pleasure, as always. We'll see you back here soon.
Great to talk with you, Daisy. Bye-bye.
And here we are at the end. I hope you enjoyed that. I always very, very much enjoy talking to Terry, so I hope you share that joy with me. As always, I'm going to leave you with an end quote. And as is so often the case, that end quote comes from James Clear. This one came through on this week's newsletter, and it seemed very appropriate. I think it's probably based on another famous quote and is his take on it, because it does kind of sound a bit familiar. So here we go. This week's end quote from the one and only James Clear. Many situations in life are similar to going on a hike. The view changes once you start walking. You don't need all the answers right now. New paths will reveal themselves if you have the courage to get started. And how true is that?
I have certainly found it true over and over again. I am a perfectionist and I am a procrastinator. Two very, very friendly bedfellows. But I have found almost every single time that if I just get started, if I just start doing it, things start to fall into place. They don't always go super smoothly. It's not always plain sailing, but you don't know what you need to know until you get started. So this, of course, applies to keto. Just get started. I've been offering you some suggestions in the way I think, with all those wonderful benefits of hindsight, would be a great way to get started. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. Just get started and start crafting your perfect keto. So fingers crossed, Storm Eunice has done her worst and the power lines are going to be fixed soon, and I will be able to get this uploaded and tickling your earbuds before too long. Thank you for sticking with me. I really do appreciate it, and apologies once again. I hope wherever you are, you're heading into a very lovely weekend and are going to be spending time with people you love, doing something you love, relaxing. Hopefully you're well, you're happy, and you have the perfect weekend to set you up for a good week next week. So until I see you back here then, please take very, very good care, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.